Now, listen to the chapel platform from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Those who speak in chapel, the morning worship service, and other services on the campus have been greatly used of God. After the hymn, you'll hear today's speaker, the late Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, who in his later years was staff evangelist for the university. He refers to events that were current at the time he delivered this message on Wednesday, June 18, 1975, at a summer chapel service at the university. The success that comes from serving God is often intangible, but will reap eternal benefits for those who are faithful. God desires to use His faithful servants to win souls to Him. If we trust Him, then we'll do our best by His grace, no matter where we serve. Be sure to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 1 through 4 for the text. Dr. Stenholm's timely challenge is titled, Prosperity to God's Glory.
Themselves and pray. Oh, Thank you. We appreciate that number this morning. For our few moments today, will you turn with me to the 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Now let me pause here for a moment to say that this was an unusual opportunity for a young man 16 years of age. How would you like to have the responsibility that was given to him to rule the destiny of his country against all the various pressures that were against them, the various countries who were trying to war against God's people? 16 years old, a tremendous responsibility put upon his shoulders. This young man could not have fulfilled this responsibility had he not had a good background. For we are told that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now this was not the usual trend and characteristic of the kings. Most of these men murmured against God. They rebelled against God. They refused to follow his precepts, his standards. They ignored every warning that God gave them. And thus we have tragedy upon tragedy visiting the kings and the leaders of that time. Amaziah, up to a certain point, was faithful to God. But there was one little item, not so little either, and that is in the 25th chapter and the 2nd verse, it says, of his father, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He didn't go all the way out for Christ or for God. There were certain little things he liked to hold on to. Now, this seems to be typical of all of us. We look at both sides of the fence. We see the world with all its opportunities and potential and what it has to offer for us. We look on the other side and we see the opportunity we have to work with the Lord. It's going to mean pressure. It's going to mean opposition. It means that we're going to have to sacrifice. We're going to have to give up luxuries, perhaps. We may have to live in poverty. And we may live in luxury, depending on our relationship to God and how we live for Him. But Amaziah, on the other hand, did what the Lord wanted him to do. And I think that had a tremendous impact upon his son Uzziah. Blessed is a young man and woman who has the joy of knowing that he grew up in a Christian home. That is not always the case, even on this campus. We have our students who are consistently praying that the Lord might save an ungodly father and mother. How fortunate for us who grew up in a Christian home where we had family altar, where we were given the Christian discipline, the Christian teaching from the Word of God, and I'm sure that many of us contribute our salvation, are called to Christian work because of godly parents who were concerned for us and prayed with us and encouraged us down the line. We've had some interesting reports already, I think mentioned that the other day, from our students of the joy of telling us of a mother that's found the Lord, a father who's come to Christ, or a brother and sister that's made the decision and prayers have been answered. Now, Uzziah had the great potential. Why? Because he was yielded to God. There is no success outside of God, really speaking. Now, there are people that have success from a worldly standpoint. They make a great deal of money, but what has money done for them? They've lived in fear. They've had their problems. There are always pressures that are brought to bear. Just because a man's rich doesn't mean that he has no problems and he's living at ease. A man may have wealth and he may be a multimillionaire, but he's on his way to hell if he's not saved. And it's a curse to him. His prosperity has gotten the best of him. He doesn't feel he needs God. He can do as he pleases. Why, I've got the finances. I have the luxuries of life. And thus they take it upon themselves to do as they want. And finally, you have nothing but disgrace. You have a falling away from that which is good, and the prosperity means nothing. My, how many people today are in trouble mentally because they've gone away from God, and yet they have the millions. Uzziah had the potential. And I say to you today, young people, you have a potential. I doubt there's anyone here today that's going to reach the leadership of Uzziah. We may someday hear in this audience, if God carries, there may be a statesman. There may be someone who'll make an outstanding record in the business field. It may be in other areas of the work to which God has called you, because with God, all things are sacred. We were reminded of that many times by our founder, that to a Christian, everything is sacred. It's just as sacred for the housewife as she carries out her responsibilities in the home as the missionary on the foreign field. It's just as sacred for the teacher who's in the classroom teaching boys and girls as the man that stands in the pulpit and has a pastor of a church. It's just as sacred for the man out on the farm plowing in the fields, sowing the seed and later to reap the crop. He has just as great a responsibility in the eyes of God as does the evangelist that goes from place to place and preaches the word in his evangelistic campaigns. God has a place for every one of us. Now, Uzziah had an unusual opportunity. He must have been a brilliant young man. He had a tremendous insight to what he wanted to do. Undoubtedly, even while his dad was living, he might have said, well, someday I'm going to be a king. I'm going to take over my dad's responsibilities. He probably saw the errors and some of the mistakes his dad made. He probably saw where there was a weakness in the reign of his father Amaziah. Perhaps he thought, when I become king, I'm going to try to remedy that. I want to try to make things right in our country. We want to give God Almighty the credit and go forth for Him. And it says, and he went forth, it says he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, there was an impact of a personality upon his life as well. I'm sure that there were the prophets who knew his potential. Perhaps had talked with him, had prayed with him, encouraged him in his particular life as he grew up. Undoubtedly, he'd heard the men read and to preach and to pray to God. Sure, they had studied the history of the background of men, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They had seen how God had provided for them, and how God can move in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform, in spite of the difficulties that surround you. The same thing exists today in our country. But as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now I want to remind you that prosperity is not just money. Prosperity is your character. What kind of character do you have? When men see you walking down the street, or you're carrying on your business, and you're rubbing shoulders with other people, when they see you, do they recognize that you are a Christian, that you're saved? Say, that's being prosperous. Do they watch your actions? Do they listen to your conversation? And you know, the world watches us. They watch this institution. They watch any church that has a recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And undoubtedly, they were watching Uzziah. The outside world had heard of his great exploits, of his great victories, a man of his honor, a man of integrity, an unusual leader at this particular time, knowing the history and the background of the forefathers of this man. And he went forth and he warred against the Philistines. That was no easy task. That was a difficult one. This was one of the largest, one of the most potent enemies of God. There's a lot said about the Philistines in the Old Testament. This country warred against God's people. They despised them. They did everything they possibly could. But God always had somebody at the right time to win the victory. Isn't it interesting how when it seems that we're in a dark period and we wonder, are we going to be successful? Are we going to win the victory? Are we going to go forward? God always has somebody to step in and direct the work. And thus he wars against the Philistines. He breaks down the walls of Gath and Jabneh, the wall of Ashdod, built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. In other words, he was refurnishing and fixing up and rehabilitating Jerusalem that had been torn down by men that had been rebellious against God. And Uzziah saw an opportunity here. Let's make Jerusalem the center for God, and let's see God lead every one of us as we go down the line. Someday you're going to be called, perhaps, into some remote area. You're not all going to be in the big city. You're not all going to have any headlines about some great things that were carried on. But listen, God knows. God looks over the battlements of heaven and he looks down below and he sees this preacher out here in the mountains. He may not have a great number, but he's a man that's been out witnessing for the Lord and going from house to house, telling the good news that Jesus saves, and he's had the joy of seeing people saved. I was walking up here this morning, coming to chapel, when one of our preacher boys said, "My, we've enjoyed our street meetings. We had a great time. We gave out 600 tracts the other day downtown. We just spread it all over, but I had the joy of leading a 70-year-old black man to Christ." And as I took out my Bible, he said, I want you to read with me." And the man said, "Sir, I can't do that." "Well, why not?" He said, "I wish I hadn't said that." "Well," he said, "sir, I can't read." "Well, I'll read it for you." And he read the passages that told of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the smile on his face, he recognized that this he did not possess. He did not know the Lord. He'd never known him and trusted him, but there on the street, he had the joy of leading this man to Christ, and he got saved. Say, that's a victory. That's prosperity. That's what God wants. And that may not go down in headlines in Greenville News. I'm sure it won't. That will not go in the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times. No, but it goes down in the Lord's record. As he looks down to see a black man, 70 years of age, stopped by one of the boys from this institution, and there on the street comes to know the Lord. What an opportunity. What an opportunity we all have to be faithful in our witnessing for him. And then it says, God helped him against the Philistines. The greatest general we have today is the Lord, and I speak respectfully. There's no other way we can succeed. If we try to succeed in our own flesh, in our own ways, in our own abilities, we'll fall flat on our face. We're to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. to lead and direct in every phase of our life. God was with him. Why, of course God was with him. You think God will neglect anyone that's obedient and faithful to him? Not by any stretch of the imagination. God saw him through. And he became so well known that even the enemy started to send him gifts. The Ammonites. They gave gifts to him, and his name spread abroad even to the entering into Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. It's nice to have a good reputation. I don't know how many businessmen we see downtown. You've probably experienced the same thing if you've been down in the city. And you always hear these comments. We certainly love to see the students of Bob Jones University. They have an appearance about them, their smile, their enthusiasm. Wouldn't do anything that would bring and cast reflection upon your institution. We never have to worry about our establishments being destroyed or any vandalism. We appreciate their integrity, their honesty and decency, and it's mighty good to have them around. Now, they may say it to us just so we'll feel good, you know. But at least they recognize who you are. They know what you represent. Why? Because I believe you're interested in doing what the Lord would have you to do. And that's why this institution is being blessed of God. We want him to have all the credit. Remember, Dr. Bob told about an incident up in his office, Dr. Jones Sr. Several salesmen came up there, and he began to enthusiastically tell what has happened in this school and how this was done and how that was done, and my, he was so proud to be able to tell these distinguished businessmen what this school had done. And had a little word of prayer, and the men had gone down out, and he said, suddenly I realized, you know, I didn't give the Lord credit for that. So he hurriedly ran down, and the men were about to drive off. He said, just a minute, fellas, just a minute. They got out of the car, and he said, you know, I failed to tell you that the real answer for the success of this institution is the Lord. And I didn't give him credit. I want you to know, gentlemen, that we ask the Lord to guide and to direct our business, our social activities, our athletic activities. Everything we try to do on this campus, we give the Lord the glory. And the med said, thank you, sir. We recognize that the Lord must be on this campus. And thank you, Dr. Jones. And we want to assure you of our continued prayers that God will bless you. Now, young people, you have the potential as no other young people in the world. You are standing on dedicated ground. You're sitting in these chapel seats. You're going to classes with dedicated teachers. What an opportunity of leadership lies before you if the Lord tarries. This is what has made this institution, that determination by the grace of God, he's going to direct our path. He built towers. He built gates. He built walls. He built towers in the desert. Now, that was no easy task. How do you build towers in the desert and dig many wells? That took a lot of work. I'm sure that took a little engineering. I've been trying to conceive how you dig wells in deserts. That's a real task. That's a real responsibility. But he had the men available. And they made it possible. And he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, and husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains. Say, he had everything. You hardly find anything lacking in this young man's opportunity of leadership. And I believe the reason for it is, as I've said before, because God gave it to him. Now, it's about time for the chapel to be over, but I'd like for you to read. And unfortunately, we come down a little further, and his name spread abroad, but when he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And when he got strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, and he sinned against the Lord. he got to the place where he felt he had everything. And his prosperity got the best of him, and he got well-known, and perhaps he didn't pray like he used to. He didn't recognize God as he did. And what happened? He finally took over and said, well, I'm going to give a sacrifice to the Lord. And he began to sacrifice, which was not his responsibility. That was the responsibility of God's man, the priest. And he got leprosy. Now, you know the tragedy of our day is that there are some men that started out well. Students who started out well here, and God prospered them, and they went on, and as they got older and older, some things crept in, and they allowed this to take place, and shame and degradation was the result. We've got two men that I'm thinking of, not especially from here. One used to go here. But I thought this morning of two men, outstanding evangelists of a number of years ago. They had great potential. Thousands and thousands of people sat in stadiums and listened to them preach. They had an impact about thousands of young people who are going into full-time Christian work. These men had every characteristic of great evangelism. Somewhere down the line, they allowed certain things to creep in. And soon we began to hear of smaller meetings. And they were not being recognized anymore. And finally, both of them went out of the ministry and into a secular field. And one man went up into Canada, had a radio broadcast and a TV broadcast. And there he brought in the people of Hollywood and the blues singers and the dancers. And there he had his own program. And as you looked upon that broadcast and heard the name of the man that was in charge of it, you'd go back and you'd say, my, what a contrast to the life he used to be. And the leader he was, and the potential among the young people because of that man's testimony, and down in degradation and shame he went. Thought of another evangelist. My, get on the pulpit, had the charm, the personality. He had a way of capturing the audience as he preached. And then he had his last sermon. And one day they found him dead. No longer was he preaching. No longer was he the great young man of 10, 15 years before. Somewhere down the line, he began to feel his own oats, his own ability, not looking to the Lord for guidance and direction, and thus we have a horrible ending to a great life that started out with God. Uzziah, 16 years old, and he did reign a long time, 52 years. That's quite a lengthy reign. So it had its impact. But my, how better it would have been if they could have said it in his closing hour. He was faithful to the last. He was true blue. Nothing could be said against him. May we today look into our own hearts, look into our own future, recognizing that as we study here and make our preparation, let's not have the mistakes that ruined other people, but may we be faithful and true to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning hour for the joy of following Thee. We thank Thee for the direction in our lives for each one who's assembled here this morning. We pray, Lord, that Thou will raise up leaders in various walks of life from those who are here today. We pray for our constituency, for our missionaries on the foreign field, for our students out on the field this summer, and our staff and faculty. Lord, we just pray that Thou will guide and protect and use us for Thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, just send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, the title of his message, Prosperity to God's Glory, and also be sure to mention today's date. Join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.